Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you had a good weekend. This is Michael Collins Piper. It's Monday, May 14th. I'm coming to you from Washington, D.C., that is, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Had a very busy weekend, but you know what? No matter what I have to do, the world keeps spinning on around us. Lots of things happening in the news. I'm going to go through some news items with you here in the next 15 minutes or so, and then we'll take some phone calls. You're welcome to call in. The number here, of course, is 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Just a brief item. You know, I noticed in the Washington Post today that they're crying and complaining because a Syrian court has sentenced four pro-democracy campaigners, including one of Syria's most respected writers, to prison terms. They quote Michelle Kilo, saying, "We are not criminals, we are patriotic people." He and one of his colleagues were convicted of spreading false news, weakening national feeling, and inciting sectarian sentiments. Now, you know, I'm a big believer in freedom of speech, political speech, and I don't endorse what has happened to these guys in Syria. But I find it very, very interesting that any time the Arab world or anyone in the Muslim world, any Muslim countries, crack down on people for such things as spreading false news, it becomes a major cause célèbre, a major item in the media. People cry and moan and complain about how terrible it is. It's very interesting. That's what Ernst Zundel was convicted of up in Canada. He was charged with it, I should say, years and years ago, spreading false news. Spreading false news about the Holocaust in this particular case, so they said. But human rights organizations don't have anything to say about the sentencing of people like Ernst Zundel or Germar Rudolph or Gunter Deckert. Who am I missing? David Irving, of course, he's out of jail now. My friend Jürgen Graf, who had to go into exile to avoid being sentenced to jail in Switzerland. Dear little Switzerland. Dear little peaceful Switzerland. Now, no one is concerned about people going to jail for those reasons. That's the only reason, the only thing that you're not allowed to talk about in our world today. You're not allowed to talk about the Holocaust. And if you do talk about the Holocaust in certain countries, you go to jail, folks. That is, if you don't spin the party line as to what did happen or did not happen, as the case may be, during the events of World War II. So, it's a shame. It's a shame that there are people being losing their liberties around the world because they dare to speak out. But the fact is, the people who make it their business to defend civil liberties really don't ever go out of their way to say anything about the denial of liberties to those who've spoken out on the Holocaust. Isn't it interesting, folks? What does it say, or what doesn't it say, about the reality of freedom of speech in the United States and in the West? Here we are promoting the concept of democracy and liberty and freedom, whatever you want to call it. Maybe you don't like that term democracy, but the general perception of the term, right or wrong, is that, quote-unquote, democracy is a good thing. And yet, there are certain things that we are not allowed to freely discuss. And, you know, eventually, folks, if they get their way, we're going to have laws like that in this country. They've been pushing and maneuvering, slipping and sliding towards it, and, you know, people don't object. Well, when it does happen here, maybe people will object. But in the meantime, I'm afraid it's going to be a long time before people really start to speak out. All right, we're going to be going to a break here very shortly, folks. So please stay tuned. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington.
Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Collins Piper here. I'm going to rant and rave for a few minutes, and we'll take your phone calls. Already got a couple callers lined up. We'll get around to them eventually. Letter to the editor in the Washington Post on Saturday. The letter writer's name is Uka Okoro Unuma the First. Uka Okoro Unuma the First. And I don't know if Uka is a man or a woman, but Uka wrote a letter to the editor complaining, apparently, about a front-page photograph that appeared in the Washington Post of Queen Elizabeth arriving in Richmond. Queen Elizabeth of Britain, of course. It says, the picture showed young people buzzing with excitement and vying to get a good shot of the Queen. That is a photograph, folks, not shooting at the Queen, I don't think. But Okoro Unuma, goes on to say, yet the picture lacked one thing. It did not represent America. Or maybe it did. This colorful picture was colorless. As far as I could see, there were no Hispanics or African Americans in the crowd. And this was in Richmond, where the mayor, former Virginia Governor Doug Wilder, is African American. This is not the color of America. Well, Uka Okoro Unuma is apparently upset because in this particular picture, which only shows, reproduced in the Post, a distance of about 5 to 10 feet either side of the Queen, he or she is upset because there, what they say are, there are no Hispanics or African Americans in the crowd. Well, I'm looking at the picture and I don't see any faces that can be definitively said to be African Americans, but there are a few faces in the crowd that might be Hispanics. But most of these people appear to be your conventional blonde-haired kids, blonde-haired, light-brown kids. Well, I guess what I don't understand is why Uka Okoro Onuma is upset. Is Uka Okoro Onuma the first upset because no African-Americans or Hispanics turned out to see the Queen? Does Uka Okoro Onuma think they were barred from the picture? Or does Uka Okoro Onuma think that the Washington Post is some sort of racist publication that deliberately took a shot at the Queen, a shot of the Queen, I should say, and deliberately excluded any African-American or Hispanic faces? I mean, my God, folks. I mean, you know, I mean, do people really sit around and worry about stuff like this? I mean, for God's sake. Just amazes me. Uka Okoro Onuma should find something better to do. Well, interesting thing. We've heard so much about these firings of U.S. attorneys by the Bush administration. I haven't paid that much attention to it, folks. If I may have read one article about it, if even that, and there have been hundreds of articles about it in the daily papers here in Washington. But one article in the Post over the weekend struck me as very interesting. It says nearly half the U.S. attorneys slated for removal by the administration were targets of Republican complaints that they were lax on voter fraud. In other words, folks, the Republican Party wanted to get rid of U.S. attorneys because they thought these U.S. attorneys were not cracking down on vote fraud, which apparently the Republicans think is a reason why they lose elections. But isn't it funny, folks? Isn't it funny, folks, that when grassroots Americans with no political axe to grind in particular, no partisan axe to grind, complain about vote fraud, computerized vote fraud, complain about the voter news service and how the mass media actually counts our votes in the presidential elections and in the congressional, in fact, really, in, if anything, in all the major elections, we, those of us who make those complaints, are called conspiracy theorists and fearmongers. But when it's a partisan matter, the Republicans and the Democrats do believe that there is vote fraud. The Republicans say the Democrats try to get out the voters who shouldn't be voting. The Democrats say that the Republicans try to suppress voters. But none of them will get to the root of the matter, the fact that the Zionist-controlled mass media in America, and they don't even have to mention the fact that it's Zionist-controlled. It should be enough for them to complain that the media counts the votes. But they don't do it. And again, this just goes to show you the utter hypocrisy, the utter fraudulent nature of this hellish two-party system that is so beloved here in the United States. Well, this two-party system should be broken. It should be smashed. It should be thrown into the garbage heap of history where it belongs. We weren't supposed to have a two-party system. We weren't even supposed to have a party system, if we read what our founding fathers had to say about it. Well, it did look for a while as though Senator Chuck Hagel of Nebraska might be some sort of alternative to the two-party system or to the Zionist control of that system. But Chuck Hagel now is kissing up to billionaire New York City Zionist Mayor Mike Bloomberg, a Democrat turned Republican. They recently had dinner together. And Hagel now says, we didn't make any deals, but I think Mayor Bloomberg is the kind of individual who should seriously think about running. He said, for president or vice president. It's a great country to think about, a New York boy and a Nebraska boy to be teamed up leading this nation. Hagel said it was time for the political system to be shaken up with a third-party candidacy. Then he goes on to say the GOP is no longer the party of Eisenhower, of Goldwater, of Reagan, but rather a group hijacked by what he called, quote, single-minded, almost isolationist, insulationists, power projectors. That's a mouthful. But all of the good things that he's apparently saying there tend to be negated by his flirting with Mike Bloomberg. Michael Bloomberg, this billionaire, this Zionist billionaire, is hardly what America needs to clean up its act. Well, speaking of cleaning up an act, I'll tell you who needs to clean up his act. That's Eric John Phelps. You know, I debated Eric John Phelps of of the theme that the Vatican and the Jesuits rule the United States and rule the world, and that the Israeli Mossad is actually an arm of the Vatican or something like that. I've never quite figured out exactly what Mr. Phelps does believe, but I was amused to get an email from somebody sending me a copy of a statement Mr. Phelps had made, and he's criticizing me. As you know, he doesn't like me for having shot his argument that the Vatican killed JFK. He doesn't like me for shooting that argument full of holes in a debate on Greg Szymanski's program earlier last year. And, of course, he says I'm a coadjutor tool of the Vatican or something like that. But what's very interesting, one of Mr. Phelps' main complaints about me is that I am associated with Willis Cardo. Well, I was surprised to read, according to Mr. Phelps, and so was Willis when he heard about it. Both of us were surprised to read that Willis was a longtime friend, get this, of Edward Bennett Williams and J. Peter Grace. J. Peter Grace being the late industrialist and Edward Bennett Williams being a very well-connected lawyer here in the District of Columbia, both of them being very devout Roman Catholics. Well, first of all, I was pretty sure that Willis Cardo had never even once met J. Peter Grace. I met J. Peter Grace on one occasion when he came to the Spotlight office to give us an interview. He was soliciting interviews with anybody who would do an interview with him over some problems he was having with hardline environmentalists. So he showed up in his limousine with his small entourage, came in, gave the Spotlight an interview, and left. We never saw him again. And Willis Cardo was not even in the Spotlight office. Willis never met J. Peter Grace. I wasn't sure if Willis had ever met Edward Bennett Williams. I knew he was not a friend of Edward Bennett Williams, big, powerful attorney here in town, but it was conceivable he may have met him on one occasion. Well, I called Willis and said, Willis, did you ever meet Edward Bennett Williams? Willis said no. Willis said, I wouldn't know him if I tripped over him. Yet, according to Mr. Eric John Phelps, who is one of the most widely quoted people on the Internet, Willis Cardo was a good friend of these two super Catholics, Edward Bennett Williams and J. Peter Grace. Well, I'm here to tell you that Willis says it's not true, and I'm telling you it's not true. Now, Mr. Phelps will probably say either Cardo was lying or Piper is lying or they're both lying, but I'm just here to tell you, just for the record, it's not true. And I will say for the record that if Mr. Phelps bases his arguments on things that are simply not true, then even in such a minuscule item as this, you have to wonder exactly what it is he is telling the truth about the Vatican or about the Jesuits and what things he's saying are not true. And the only reason I bring this up, folks, is because there are a lot of good people, for whatever inexplicable reason, who believe the lies and the lines of Eric John Phelps. It's one of the problems I've detected with the Patriot movement over the years, that someone can pop up out of nowhere and tell the most extraordinarily crazy stories, like suggesting that the Vatican killed John F. Kennedy, and people will believe it. Well, as you know, I know a little bit about the assassination of John F. Kennedy, and I can tell you there is no evidence the Vatican killed him. I find it extraordinary that I even have to address the subject matter, but I'm just here to tell you that these are the kind of funny little lies that people will tell to promote a particular agenda, and in this case, to try to discredit me or Willis Cardo or whatever he's trying to discredit, and there is absolutely no foundation for the story. So, you know, I'm just passing it on for the record. When we come back, I'm going to talk about a new book on the Kennedy assassination came out. The biggest, fattest book I've ever seen on the subject of the Kennedy assassination, or maybe on any subject itself. Vincent Bugliosi's new book, Reclaiming History. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. That coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific. And it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper here, coming to you from Washington on this, the Republic Broadcasting Network. We have some callers waiting to come aboard, and I am going to bring you up, but I have to talk about this massive new book by Vincent Bugliosi, who is the former Los Angeles prosecutor. He's written many, many very good books, and he's best known for his book Helter Skelter on the prosecution of the Charles Manson gang. His new book is 1,612 pages long, and unlike a lot of books that come out today, it's not large type. It's very relatively small type. Plus, he includes a CD in the back, which has 700 pages of endnotes and footnotes for the book. He says Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. He says that everybody else who has any contrary opinions on the matter is a liar or a fool or a combination thereof. But, you know, it's still nonetheless an interesting book, folks, for anyone who's interested in the Kennedy assassination, because one thing which is important about the book is that it does demonstrate that there is a lot of misinformation out there. A lot of stories, a lot of things that have been confused and taken out of context over the years and are still pointed to by people today as quote-unquote evidence of conspiracy. Well, you know, I've been familiar with a lot of this over the years, and I tried to address some of it in my book, Final Judgment, on the topic of the Kennedy assassination. But I've often found that no matter how hard you try to address it, people will say, well, he's either covering up for the conspirators or they just disregard what you have to say. Now, that backhanded praise of Vincent Bugliosi does come with a caveat, and that is that in many respects, Mr. Bugliosi is somewhat disingenuous or maybe, I don't want to go that far to say intellectually dishonest, but in certain respects he is in his treatment of so many good people who have looked into the Kennedy assassination. He has a couple passing references to me. He actually quotes one throwaway line from Final Judgment that has nothing to do with my thesis whatsoever. It just he quotes me in regard to a criticism I made of this Zionist writer Gerald Posner, who was criticized by many, many people, and he quotes me there. He also has a footnote in which he has a long list of different groups that have been implicated in the Kennedy assassination, and he said the Israeli Mossad, and he puts a footnote there and says, Final Judgment by Michael Collins Piper. In another instance, which does kind of bother me, and I have Mr. Bugliosi's home address because he contacted me many years ago about another matter relating to the Hunt trial involving Liberty Lobby and former Watergate burglar E. Howard Hunt. And in any case, he quotes an interview, a radio interview with me that was transcribed in the Spotlight, and suggests that the statement I made has absolutely no backing or basis in reality. Well, the problem is, that particular item that I talk about, I actually address in the book Final Judgment. So there, folks, is the kind of thing I'm saying he's being intellectually dishonest about, because I know that he had a copy of Final Judgment. I sent it to him. He quoted from the book in his book, but then when he chooses to try to refute me, he quotes a passing reference that I said in the context of a radio interview. I'm not even going to bother to go into the details of it because it's not worth wasting the time here. But needless to say, when I know of something of that specific nature that is intellectually dishonest, then it raises questions in my mind about how honest Mr. Bugliosi is being. The book is quite an accomplishment, and it hasn't convinced me that there wasn't a conspiracy, but it has convinced me of something that I've always known to be the case, that there are so many people writing about the JFK assassination and 9/11 and the Oklahoma City bombing and all sorts of other things, people who are passing on misquotations and false statements and just totally fraudulent things that have been cooked up, whether in the kitchens of disinformation specialists or in the kitchens of patriots who think they're doing a good thing by creating a fraudulent story that they think will prove their point. And this is all too common. It's happened in so many cases, folks. But here is this book, Reclaiming History, by Vincent Bugliosi. Very interesting. You know, he has a whole chapter attacking Mark Lane. But it's very interesting. The chapter itself acknowledges that it was Mark Lane who was almost single-handedly responsible for stirring up public distrust in the Warren Commission report. And that's very, very interesting because Christopher Balin, otherwise known as Kingster Balloon, wrote a very bizarre little article on the French Connection website promising to reveal how Mark Lane was really a Zionist, not an anti-Zionist, which he is, and how Mark Lane is in control of patriot groups, which he isn't and never has been, and just basically how Mark Lane has covered up the JFK assassination. Well, no, Mark Lane has done quite the opposite, and it's because of Mark Lane's work that Bugliosi has had to write a book several thousand pages in length trying to refute the fact that there was indeed a conspiracy to assassinate John F. Kennedy. Talk about disinformation, folks. Okay, we'll go to the phones when we come back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance, from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market, but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. Folks, I almost screwed up. As you know, President George W. Bush, our highly regarded president, lives down the hill from me. He has declared May American Jewish Heritage Month, and in keeping with the president's proclamation, I feel it's important to bring up some things about American Jewish history. And I have a real brief list here I'm going to run through you of some well-known American military figures who have been accused of being anti-Jewish or otherwise hostile to the state of Israel, all at one time or another during their careers. And these are all names that most of them are pretty well-known names, but here they are. I have listed them in my book, The New Jerusalem, Zionist Power in America. Just want to read through these names. General George Patton. I don't think I need to tell you who General Patton was. General George C. Marshall. He was the U.S. Army Chief of Staff during World War II and later Secretary of State. He was opposed to the establishment of the State of Israel. General George Stratemeyer, Commanding General of the U.S. Air Forces in World War II. General Albert Wiedemeyer, who was a U.S. Army Chief of Plans and Operations. That was in the 40s and the 50s. General George V. Strong, the Chief of U.S. Army Intelligence from 42 to 44. Major General George Van Horn Moseley, Commander of the Third Army from 1936 to 1938. Lieutenant General Sherman Miles, who was commander of the I Corps area. Maybe that's the one Corps area, folks. I don't know. I'm not a military man, but that was from 1942 to 1945. General Pedro del Valle, who was a U.S. Marine commander at Okinawa in World War II. General George Brown, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff from 1974 to 1978. And before him, Admiral Thomas Moore, who was chairman of the Joint Chiefs from 1970 to 1974. So, in commemoration of American Jewish Heritage Month, I thought it would be appropriate to name some of these American military heroes who have been accused of being, quote-unquote, anti-Semitic or somehow hostile to the State of Israel. Those of you who have ever been called anti-Semitic or accused of being hostile to Israel can consider yourselves proud to be among an eminent group of military people such as this. All right, well, let's go to the phones. We have David in Massachusetts. Dave, come on up.
Hello, Michael.
How you doing tonight?
Good. It's good to talk to you. Look, at you just happened to bring up a subject which is very, very appropriate. You mentioned these people that were opposed to Israel. And, Marshall, I know that you're definitely correct because I read it myself and it was life. But I want to say this. While it is true that Marshall was opposed to Israel, Marshall, like some of these other military people that you mentioned, was also a very vicious anti-German and anti-Italian.
That's true enough.
Mm-hmm. He didn't like to see the Germans and the Italians as a dominant force in Europe. And, of course, once the war was over, I know that Marshall did make remarks about if we get, if Israel set up that, you know, it would put us in bad with the Arabs. And it's all true. But when things really counted, people like Marshall and General Patton, those are two that I can remember, and that other one you mentioned, but I can't remember his name right now. You mentioned a number of them.
Oh, yeah.
These people favored crushing and smashing the German and Italian people, and they favored U.S. military control over Europe. And when they said that Patton was pro-German, it's true in a half-truth sense of the word. He did like the Germans once they were crushed and routed and defeated. Then he liked the Germans. But as an independent nation, he did not like them. And he didn't want to see the Germans as a powerful force in the world.
Well, and, you know what? I think, Dave, it all comes down to the fact that we have this problem in our military, that the military, if they don't have any ideological motivations, they certainly take orders from civilians who do.
And
so
you
that's
are
part of the problem there.
And you are correct. I do believe firmly that Roosevelt, when he made a lot of his moves in the late 1930s, Roosevelt always probably, I don't think Roosevelt was ever pro-German, but I do think there's a lot of things that never get into the history books. And one of them is a lot of these American Army people who had fought against Germany in World War One and had contempt for the Italian people anyway, a lot of these people were very happy to see Britain and France grab up everything at the Versailles Treaty and give the Italians a kick right in the rear end. And they were very quick to probably, and like I say, these things will never get in the history books. They were all very anti-German. And they liked the Germans like Patton did once they were crushed and routed.
I think you're right there, Dave.
And I know, Michael, you're a very intellectually honest person. I hold you in very high regard. And I do think another thing, too, I've just purchased today a book on the life of George Patton. And it's written by Stanley Hirschhorn. And some of Patton's high-ranking people, lieutenant colonels, one of them was a sergeant. That's not a high-ranking position. They committed some very unnecessary and brutal and vicious atrocities against people in Sicily I think it was around Kanakati, which is a smaller city than Caltanissetta, which is a little over 100,000. And there were some of these people in Sicily that were doing something that you and I would do in time of war. They were taking soap out of a factory in an effort to keep clean. They were looting a factory, in other words, because they had with them probably what you and I would call pails, because it was liquid soap.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be afraid to admit that I would take things that weren't mine during a time of war if I had to keep clean and wash my body. And they were brutally machine-gunned to death, quite a good-sized number of them. And the American Army people in Sicily killed a whole bunch of Italians and Germans who had surrendered, and I guess they were like just lined up and machine gunned to death. These names, I don't have all the names with me right here in the. I have the book in front of me, but I mean, anyone who wants to check up on it can find out the names. One of the sergeants was court martialed, he was put in jail, then he was released later, and the name of General Truscott, Julian Truscott, he gets into this. And there was a very sugary reference to him made in some one of the memoirs of the war. And then it was later challenged with information which is in the National Archives right here in Washington, District of Columbia. And it showed that Truscott ordered the killing on the slightest pretext of civilians. So I do want to say that... I think in World War II, the United States military was, when they wanted to be, they could be nice, and when they wanted to be, they could be extremely vicious. And I do think, aside from the fact that this country got into the war to put an end to the Depression, because if it hadn't been for the World War II starting in September 1939, I believe firmly that that Depression could have gone on for another 5 or 7, 8 years. Could have lasted almost 20 years. And World War II brought this country to the biggest height of economic expansion in the nation's history, with 97, 98% employment in late 1944, early 1945. It was very, very high. But I do want to bring this out that people like Patton and Marshall... I do believe the evidence is clear that they were very anti-German and anti-Italian in the sense that they just plain didn't want to see these countries forge ahead. And Roosevelt, I do believe, became very alarmed when he saw Mussolini visit Germany in 1937. And Roosevelt was no dummy. He was a smart man, whether we agree with him or not. And he saw that Hitler and Mussolini were actually quite popular in their countries.
Needless to say.
Yeah, I mean, he realized this, and he became very alarmed. And that's when he delivered that speech in October of 1937 about if my neighbor's house is burning, I'm going to, you know, help my neighbor.
Yeah, I'll lend him my hose. I'll lend him my fire hose.
That's right. You got it. He delivered that speech, I think, shortly after Mussolini returned to Italy. And I think Roosevelt became quite alarmed, because he realized that that Hitler and Mussolini were quite popular in their countries, and Mussolini received a big welcome in Germany. And if it hadn't been for the fact that those people lost the war, they would have gone down as probably the most popular leaders in their nation's history.
Isn't it funny? What's the old saying? To the victor belongs the spoils.
And that's a true statement. I mean, that's a statement that can never be doubted by anybody who wants to have any sensible thinking. You're correct. To the victor belongs the spoils. And I believe there was a lot of people in this country who became very angry. A lot of hypocrisy involved now. A lot of hypocrisy in this. It was when Mussolini launched the attack on Ethiopia in 1935, he was denounced by many people as an aggressor. Some went along with it. But I think that a lot of people denounce him as an aggressor. Yet when England and France gobbled up millions of square miles of African land 50 years before, not a word was said in criticism.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, the important thing to keep in mind is that the whole history of World War I and World War II that we remember today, World War II in particular, was written by a lot of people who came out of the OSS, which was a communist-infested intelligence agency. Frankly, a lot of Jews and a lot of communists. And then after the war, these people went into academia, and they were the ones who wrote the official histories of the war. These are the people that claim that Hitler burned the Reichstag and that, you know, all of these things that people believe today to be true, but which simply are not true.
To this day, nobody can really prove who burned the Reichstag. It's hard to prove just how it really happened to this day. But I know that what you say is true. They try to say that he burned the Reichstag, and they cannot really prove it to this day who actually did it. And you're correct. And I want to say another thing, too. When the Italians, they made a big, big contribution. They lost 600,000 dead, at least 400,000 injured in World War I. They made a massive contribution to the World War I effort. And after the war, the British and the French grabbed up everything, and they gave them Italy a good, swift kick right in the rear end. And in 1926, the King of Britain made a trip to Italy, and he thought he was very gratuitous. He gave Italy 20,000 square miles of howling desert in what is today called Somalia. Back then it was British Somaliland, which I think was the north end of Somalia, and the south end and the central was the Italian area, which they had purchased from the Turks back in the 1880s. So it's no wonder that Mussolini went with Hitler, because he was so darn mad, like most of the Italians, at being treated very shabbily at the Versailles Conference, that they left him little choice.
You know, it's funny, though, Dave, there's still a lot of people today who have, for some reason, which I've never understood, this absolute, utter devotion and fascination to the British Empire, when in fact the British Empire is hardly anything more than a front for the Rothschild family and a lot of Jewish banking families that intermarried with the royal family and with the so-called elite of Britain. And yet there's a lot of people today who just really think the royal family of Britain is the bee's knees, so to speak.
Well, you know, the incredible truth about what you speak can be extended in this manner. The British Empire had a history of viciousness which exceeds anything the Axis ever did. When the British upper crust attempted to turn the entire Chinese nation into a bunch of drug addicts with the opium wars of the 1830s.
That's right. That's right.
In which they imported opium plants from India, where it had grown profusely from time immemorial, and some had always probably grown, but not as profusely in China. And they made a determined effort to introduce massive opium use into China to degrade the whole country and to make big fat profits for themselves.
And yet some people think that's a good thing.
Yeah. The British Empire, unfortunately, the British Empire, and probably it had to do with what you say, the Rothschilds are part of it, and other American wealthy families, they always gave the British Empire a good press.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Got a good press.
Dave, listen, I've got to move on here. Got some other callers lined up, but I appreciate your input, and I agree 100% with everything you said.
Well, it's good to talk to you, and thank you very much.
All right, thanks, Dave. All right, let's go to Jim in Pennsylvania. Jim, come on up.
Cool. How are you?
How you doing tonight, Jim?
Good. Listen, I just want to bring to your attention an article that appeared on the front page of the Wall Street Journal last week.
Okay.
Now, I tried to call in last week, but I couldn't get through. I just found it very interesting, all right? Let me read you the headline of the article. This was last Tuesday, May 8th. It says, "In Russia, a top rabbi uses Kremlin ties to gain power."
Huh.
And below that it says, "Putin's support gives clout to Chabad sect."
Now, okay, that's very interesting.
Now, it says here, I'll just read another line or two. It says, "In Russia, the Lubavitch are not a marginal sect, but a dominant force in Jewish life. Their rabbi, their leader, Rabbi Lazar, goes by the title of Russia's chief rabbi and is viewed by many to be head of the country's Jewish community. Now, with the article, they have a picture there of Putin shaking hands with this rabbi. And what I found interesting, it's a long article, by the way. It continues on page 16 of the Wall Street Journal.
Okay, that's interesting. It's odd. I think I have seen some other references to that, or maybe it was a reprint of the Wall Street Journal article. That's interesting nonetheless, yeah.
Yes, it's a five-column article, and it goes on for half a page on page 16 of the Wall Street Journal. But what I find interesting about this, Mike, it gets back to this whole question about Putin, you know? And well, it just seems like, in particular, you know, like Carol Valentine, she's written very informatively about the Lubavitchers.
Okay, listen, Jim, hang on for the break here. We have a break coming up, folks. We've got Jim in Pennsylvania talking about Putin and his Jewish friends in Russia.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleilWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Mike Piper coming to you from Washington. We're wrapping up the hour here. Tomorrow night, be sure to tune in because I'm going to bring you a story I meant to bring you tonight. It's about a major takeover by a very powerful Zionist operation of a major American corporation. A corporation that, I mentioned the name, you'd know it right off the top of your head, but what you don't know is what's not being reported in the mass media. and it's exactly who controls this group of Zionist predators who are taking over. Now, we have Jim aboard, Jim from Pennsylvania, talking about Putin and his friendly relationship with a Jewish rabbi who apparently is rather influential in Russia. Jim, go ahead.
Okay, Mike. Well, let me just read another sentence from this article, give you a flavor of what it says, okay? It says, Shabbat Lubavitch enjoys unparalleled political influence and has been allowed to gain control of millions of dollars worth of communal property from the Russian state, often trouncing rival claims from other Jewish organizations. Now, getting back to this idea, the Lubavitchers, Mike, I'm sure you're aware of it. Our own 9/11 event here, there was very powerful, prominent Jews in our government who had strong ties to the Lubavitchers. Harry Fleischer, Paul Wolfowitz, Stuart Eisenstadt, Dov Zakheim, and I believe a few others. So this is not a minor organization.
Oh no, absolutely. They're hardline Orthodox Jews of the most virulent Talmudic sort. You're absolutely right about that.
So I just found it curious that Putin and this chief rabbi have such close ties, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Putin, as I've said for years in watching Putin, that it strikes me as he is playing a multi-level chess game, trying to balance out a lot of powerful forces in Russia. You know, he's taken on many of these Jewish oligarchs, and it sounds to me as though what he's doing is trying to play a little game by inserting power and influence in a small group that obviously is somewhat independent of these other people. You know, I don't pretend to be an expert on Russia. There are very few people who really can claim to be so. But in terms of what Putin is doing, you're absolutely right. It's very, very interesting to watch it, and it's something we need to keep an eye on.
I know John Stadtmiller had David Bay on, that author, a couple weeks ago. Do you know David Bay?
America's
Secret Beginnings?
I didn't hear the show, but I'm not familiar with him. No, go ahead.
Okay. He had mentioned that his opinion, that he thinks Putin is part of the New World Order. He thinks he's a New World Order stooge. Now, I know there's a whole variation of opinions on that, but just reading this, you know, with the Lubavitcher sect, it really makes you wonder. Anyway, Mike, can I change gears for one second?
Go ahead, yeah.
In reference to the JFK work, I know about 2 weeks ago you had mentioned that you might have another session of maybe perhaps a week-long session of JFK work.
Later.
Any chance of getting Professor Jim Fetzer on?
Well, I'll tell you what, I doubt that I will have him on because I have some problems with some of his work. And as I've said before, I'm a little bit teed off that I've sent him two copies of my book, Final Judgment, over the years, and ask him for comments on it, and I haven't heard any comments one way or the other. And I don't think that in the bigger picture, the work that he's done on the JFK assassination really contributes to an understanding of who really killed JFK and why. That's the big question. The argument over the forensics in the JFK assassination can go on forever and ever and ever. How many shots were fired, whether they were fired from the front or the back, whether the Zapruder film was altered or whether it was not altered. There's so many of these things that they all taken together point toward a big conspiracy at the highest levels. I think the important thing to do is discuss who killed JFK and why.
Because I agree exactly with you, Mike, but, you know, a lot of people, you hear a lot of comments on the Internet around JFK work that Professor Jim Fetzer maintains a